for just a moment. So I just feel the breath of God this morning really strong in the house. And when you feel the presence of God that close, he's wanting to say something to his people. So we're going to see what God wants to say to us this morning. His presence is awesome in this place today. You know, I know that it's been quiet, but sometimes we get used to a certain service and we want it that way every time, you know. And sometimes God says, let's just be quiet for a moment. And as Sherry sung the songs today about God's holiness and God's goodness and God's grace to us, amen, I really sense the breath of God just breathing upon us today, breathing away the weariness and breathing away the concerns and wanting you to know that he's got it all in his grip and he's not about to let you go. All that concerns you, it concerns him also, and he's taking care of it. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word today. Thank you for breathing upon us today, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence that's in this house today, Lord. Thank you for breathing upon your people today, God. A fresh wind of the Holy Spirit. Yesterday's manna was yesterday's manna. Hallelujah. But we need to be fed fresh and anew today, God. We need new manna today, God, from your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making all things new. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to teach today. So you may want to get out your pens and take some notes this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Romans, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. It reads, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he now with him also freely give us in all things? So we have been already given freely of all things in Christ. Not something that we have to work for or even necessarily, as I was praying a while ago, I said something that I felt quick in my spirit and all. We don't have to put a demand on what God has already freely given us, church. It's already been paid. And until we have knowledge of something, it can never be put into operation. And when it's not put into operation, it won't work. How many has ever tried to put something together and you get so frustrated you finally think, I'll read the instructions. A sudden the light comes on. This thing come with instructions. I found out very quickly my husband and I do not move furniture together and we do not put things together. No. This is our instruction manual. And I'm getting ahead of myself. So all things have already been freely been given. So we don't have to put a demand on anything. It's already been given to us freely because of the price that was paid through Jesus. So as I look at the life of Christians, and even in my own life sometimes, I see myself puttering instead of propelling. Now, when you are a puttering Christian, you are doing this. I think I can, I think I can, I think, you know, the choo-choo train. I think I can. And the reason that we get into that mode is because we forget about our covenant. And when you are propelling, you are saying, I know I can, I know I can, I know I can. Because there's something inside of you working. Oh, hallelujah. There's something inside of you that's working greater And alongside with, I know I can, I know I can. Because I know I can do all things through Christ who what? And I think the Amplified Bible says, infuses me with the power. So every once in a while, we have to regroup and we have to say, okay, now I need to start covenant. I need to start being covenant-minded again. You know, your insurance policy, every once in a while, you have to go over it and say, okay, do I need to add something to this or do I need to take it away? It's not going to do you any good as long as it's laying on a shelf. Amen. So we need to not be puttering Christians, but propelling, progressive, ever-growing and ever-learning children of God. Amen. So when you putter, you're like the little train that says, I think I can. But we are not puttering. We are what? Propelling. Energized by the word of God and our covenant. Our covenant. So if you have accepted Jesus Christ, and as I look out over this congregation today, everybody here is saved. I sense in my spirit, everybody here is saved. Born again by the blood of Jesus. And if you have been, then you have entered into a covenant that with God that Jesus bought with the blood he shed for you. You are in a covenant relationship. Now, us Westerners don't know much about covenants like they do in the eastern part of the world, where there's blood covenants, which is the strongest covenant you can make. We think, and it's even stronger, when I talk about a blood covenant, it's stronger than a contract. Because you know what I found about contracts? When we sign, we don't read the fine print sometimes. And the fine print is what gets you in a contract. But aren't you glad that our covenant don't have no fine prints? Hallelujah, church. It's very open as to what he wants to do, what he has done, and what he will do. And he has made, glory to God, I feel the Holy Ghost. There's no fine print here. And he has made us people of freedom of choice that we can either choose to hook up with this or we could just be puttering Christians until we die and go to heaven. And glory to God, we'll get it all then in the sweet by and by. Amen. But we need to be covenant-minded people of God so that we can quit puttering, because there is a world out there to reach. And if you're if you are just puttering along with everybody else, how can you ever be a witness? You know, if you're a putter too, glory to God. So the more we understand and the more we know about the covenant that was given to us through the blood of Jesus, we find out we don't have to putter along, but propel by the power of the knowledge of that covenant. Now I'm going to tell you something. When we were baptized in the Holy Ghost, that power was given to us to be witnesses. Okay? We have the power of the blood covenant. And once we have knowledge of that, we're going to be able to walk in a level of authority that we've not seen yet in our lives, church. The power of the Holy Ghost was given to you to be a witness. But the power of that blood covenant, my goodness. So, you know, I have a lot of different Bibles, different translations, different colors and different sizes. And, you know, you could put one in your car for everybody to see. You could walk into work with one. Hallelujah. You know, you can, but until you get into this, all it is just another book. All this is just another book. And thank God we go to a church where the whole gospel is preached. From Genesis to Revelations, we preach the fullness of the gospel. Now, when I was growing up, I was growing up in a Baptist church, and they preached the message of salvation. And you felt heaven sweet, and you felt hell hot. And thank God for the message of salvation. Amen. But see, what's happened with the Pentecostals, we think we've arrived. Because we got the Holy Ghost. And we should never think that we've arrived. Because the more we get into this covenant, and we don't allow it just to be another book, that it's our contract, that it's more than a contract. It's written in this book, church, it's yours. And you don't have to put a demand on nothing. You have to receive it by, you have to receive it by faith that it's working in my life. If it's in this book, it's working for me. And sooner or later, I'm going to receive the manifestation of what God has promised. All of his promises are yes and amen. Amen. So, you know, thank God we're in a church that teaches the full gospel. That there is more to salvation than just your ticket to heaven. God, there's more to that salvation just that. There's power of overcoming in this life today. I need the word. I need the covenant working for me now. I need healing now. I need prosperity now. Amen. So there's more to salvation than just your ticket to heaven. So in this covenant, God has provided for every need to be met. He's not left not one thing out of it. Not one thing has he left. Spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, there is absolutely nothing he has left out. He wants us to be whole, body, soul, and spirit. Your spirit working, amen, propelling. Glory to God, the you part, your spirit. So no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, no matter what report you may get, no matter what the doubters say, I can't help but praise the Lord because I've got a different report. Then you've got a different report than what the doctors say. You've got a different report than what the banker says or what your bank account says. Amen. Your report says that you're healed. Your report says that you're prospering. Your report says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. So we just have to release ourselves to God to be that what he wants to operate through and allow that covenant to start working in us. So I found out I don't have to putter, but my putter turns to I know I can, because the ultimate sacrifice that has already been paid. So let's talk about this covenant. When I started doing this, I got really overwhelmed because I wanted to do probably a 3-month teaching in 45-minute sermon, and it was so hard to skip over so much. But this covenant teaching is, I'm just skimming the top of it, just giving you the basics of what we can cover today. But we read in Genesis 1:26, in the beginning, that's all I needed to know, that in the beginning God was. Amen. In the beginning, God created, he formed and fashioned, the Bible says, the heaven and the earth. And God said, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image. You're made in the image of God, so you're beautiful. No matter what they told you, you're beautiful. Because you're made and created in the image of God, our likeness. And let them, you, me, whoever was born, and let them have complete authority, dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, beasts over all the earth, and everything that creeps upon it. Let man have that authority. God released that authority to man. So God created man in his own image, in the image and likeness of God. He created him, male and female, he created them. But as we go on to read, it didn't take long for man to mess it up. And ain't that just like us humans? It don't take long for us to mess things up. So it didn't take long for Adam and Eve to start messing things up. Pastor's article, if you read in the Sunday handout, says when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden, they lost more than eternal life. They lost their health, their wealth, their prosperity, their protection, their provision that God had been supplying to them. In Jesus, all of this has been restored, as we're going to go on to see in a minute. Jesus made a new covenant, as we're going to talk about in a minute. For us, it took all our sickness, poverty, pain, confusion, depression, and gave us in exchange for this healing, provision, soundness of mind, life restored, body, soul, and spirit. What Adam and Eve lost in the garden, God restored it through Jesus with a blood covenant that he shed And we have dominion power. We just don't operate in it. We do not operate in it, either because of the lack of knowledge, or we think we don't need to talk like that because of how we've been taught in church that God is God. But a lot of times it's out of ignorance because we haven't been taught. Because if I don't know that I have something, I can't enforce it. Amen? So we have to start being covenant-minded people. So after Adam and Eve sold out in the garden, I said, Adam and Eve, don't blame it on the woman. Adam should have been there watching out for her, and he wasn't. I don't know. I wasn't there. When Adam and Eve sold out in the garden, they lost the dominion power that had been freely given to them. So now God had to find a way to get back to earth, to get back to access to man, because they sold out. We don't want nothing to do with it. We want to be God. You know, it's basically what they're saying. We don't need this creator that created us anymore. So God had to find a way to get back to earth and get to man again that he created in his image and his likeness. So we go on to read real quickly here that God approached a man named Abram. God approached a man named Abram. And the Bible says that when Abram was 99 years old, you're never too old for God to use you. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said to him, I am Almighty God. That's El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and multiply you exceedingly. I'm just about to jump out of my skin. I ain't got to the blood covenant yet. Then Abram fell on his face, and the Bible says, God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. He said, I have made you already. And he was 99 years old. God saw something that Abram didn't see at that time. And when he approached Abram, there was no fine print there. He allowed Abram to choose what he had spoken to him. God laid out the deal to Abraham, and he accepted it. And now God began to have a way back to earth. He began to have an access, an avenue to get back to earth through man. That's why God wants you to get covenant-minded, because we have dominion in this earth and we're not exercising it to the full extent that God says that we can because of the covenant. Amen? So there was no fine print there. Abram, you could choose it or not choose it, so to speak. God left it up to him. The Hebrew word covenant means to cut where the blood flows. Genesis 18 begins to talk about circumcision, and it was the cut of the covenant. And from that time forward, Abram was a covenant man with God. Amen. You're the man, Abraham. Me and you have made a covenant. Hallelujah. And God even changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Hallelujah. God can change your name from messed up to a woman of God. Hallelujah. God can change your name to drug addict. Hallelujah. To someone that's been delivered. Glory to God. Amen. People may remember, but God doesn't remember, and he wants you to forget also. And when you look in the mirror, you're not going to see who you were, but you're going to see who you are and who God's making you into being. Amen. That word was to somebody this morning. And you need to forget about the past, and you need to let it go. Amen. So God now had a covenant with a man, glory to God, that he put in this earth to have dominion, authority, and power that Adam and Eve had sold out in the garden. And he promised to care for Abraham and his descendants in every way because of the covenant relationship that they began. And as long as people walked in the covenant, they were blessed. And if they didn't, they were cursed. Now we're talking about the Old Testament covenant here. And so when God made his covenant with Abram, he did not do away with the curse at that time. He just offered Abraham a way to live free from its effect. Walk in obedience before me. Do what I tell you to do and I'll keep you covered. But how many know you can't do that on your own? And it didn't take them long. So when God made his, then God made his covenant with Abraham. Because the curse was already in the earth because of what Adam and Eve done in the garden. The curse was already there. Now God was making a way for them to be under that protection, that umbrella of protection. Because the curse was already there. So God told Abraham, if you will walk perfect and upright before me, I will protect you. Now skipping through a whole lot of things, we'll go on over to Galatians 3:13, and it reads, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we see Jesus being a product. Now listen, church. Jesus was a product of the Abraham covenant. And we understand the word that he was an Israelite and he was circumcised on the eighth day. So Jesus walked perfect before God and under the covenant, and God backed him up all the way. So when Jesus came, he fulfilled the command that God had given Abraham, be perfect and walk upright before me. And he was the only man that did that. The Bible said he was tempted. And you know, when Jesus walked this earth, he walked it as a man and not as a son of God. My goodness, church, listen to me. He could have used his sonship. He could have said, out of here, and you'd been gone. But he chose to come to this earth to walk as a human being, to be tempted like we're tempted, but did not sin and did not use his sonship power. So Jesus was the unblemished Lamb of God and served as the final sacrifice for sin under the Abraham covenant. He was offered up as the spotless Son of God on the altar for the cross of sins of mankind. And his blood was poured out. And the new covenant was established. And upheld while he walked this earth. So he not only bore sins, but redeemed us from the curse found in Deuteronomy 28. You're not under the curse of the law. Amen. You're not under that. You know, I was talking to someone last night about people, about generations of families going through, whether it's mental illness and you see this person, that same family, or a certain kind of cancer or a certain addiction, that's because it's been passed down. But somebody in that family has got to stand up. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody in that family's got to realize the covenant that they have with God, and that you may have played havoc in the past. You may have done some things in the past, but I found out who I am, and I'm in covenant relationship, and the blood stops here. My children and my children's children is not going to inherit this curse, because the word says that he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And if that's what our covenant says, church, then that's what it means. Come on now. Hallelujah. That's why they get a report on you when you go to the doctor. You sit there and they ask you your family history. Well, why do they do that? I told the doctor one day, I said, it don't matter. I did. I went to the doctor. I said, it don't matter. She called me up to the desk. She said, you need to fill out this family history. And I said, no, ma'am, I cannot do that. Because it don't matter. Hallelujah. It don't matter. Woo! Glory to God. He has redeemed you from the curse of the law. Glory to God. From all the curses found in Deuteronomy 28. In the Old Testament, David's utter confidence in God in helping him defeat Goliath was based on a covenant of circumcision. David called on the name of the Lord his God and based his belief on the covenant. But, and you know what David did? He began by calling Goliath an uncircumcised Philistine. He was operating under that old covenant. He says, well, you're an uncircumcised. You haven't even entered into the blood covenant. So how dare you come against me, the one that has been circumcised and entered into that covenant with God? So how dare you come against me? Hallelujah. So you don't have a covenant with God, but I do. So therefore, the battle's not mine. It's the Lord's. Glory to God. That was under the old one, but we're under the new one now. Not new in context. See, the old wasn't just done away with. All of it, it's just so much teaching to this. I can't do it all in one time. Teaching to this. I've got to stick with what I've got wrote down. So David said, you come to me with a sword and a spirit and a javelin. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, El Shaddai, the God of the armies of Israel. So being covenant-minded, David caused David to have great faith. So that's why I said that there's power in knowing the covenant. Sure, you've got the Holy Ghost power. You can talk in tongues and pray in tongues. But there is a power, church, of knowing your rights as a covenant child of God that we have yet to tap into. Because the more knowledge that I have, the more faith I have. Amen. The more knowledge, the more that I find out what's in here that is mine, I can exercise authority and dominion in the earth now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So throughout the Old Testament, we see how God promised to care for his people in every way, spirit, soul, and body. And he told them in the Old Covenant, Old Testament, he said, I will protect you from your enemies. Walk upright before me and be perfect. Be obedient. If they come against you one way, they'll flee seven ways. I'll be your God and you will be my people. Isaiah 58. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer you. In the Hebrew language, this literally means you call and the Lord will answer you before you finish the sentence. Because all you have to do is, geez, hell, what? Woo! I hear one of my kids talking. How many knows a mama can be out in the middle of a crowd and lose her child, and she'll know that child's cry from 50 other kids? So when that child begins to cry, there's that motherly instinct. That's my baby. And that's what God does. He said, before you even call, I'll answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things that you don't know. Hallelujah. So God made these promises, and they were perfectly fulfilled in the ministry of Jesus. And we could see in the Word, when Jesus walked this earth, that when Jesus spoke, God moved. Why? Because he was in covenant. He was in a blood covenant with God. Walking as a man on this earth. Amen. He said, peace be still. And the hand of God fell on that storm in the Bible and in the gospel so strongly that it had to cease. Now, when you speak, if you don't believe your words are going to have any effect, all it is just words. But when you begin to become covenant-minded, you know when you speak, it has to be. Because when the word of the Lord is released from you, things have to happen. It has no choice. Because the Bible says that his word does not return to him void. But it has been sent to accomplish its purpose. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Me and my children will serve the Lord. Amen. When that word is released from your mouth, it's going to happen. Hallelujah. So he said, peace be still. And the hand of God fell on the storm and caused it to cease. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. God backed him up. Get out of that ground of Lazarus. Amen. When Jesus spoke, Lazarus didn't have no choice but to come forth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we'll begin to speak with authority, know that God will back us up. El Shaddai will show up on the scene. So one thing that we need to know, as I was talking about a while ago, when Jesus walked this earth, he walked as a man, tempted like we are in every way, ministered not as a son of God, but he ministered as a prophet And if you listen to Kenneth Copeland's ministry, you know they always talk about, you're the prophet of your own life. In other words, you begin to prophesy over yourself what the Bible says, that you're covenant. The Bible says that you're blessed. The Bible says he's taken all sickness from the midst of you. Glory to God. He's given you a joyful spirit, not a grieving spirit. Amen. So he begins to show up. One thing we need to know is that when Jesus walked the earth, he walked it as a man, not as a son of God. So we read in the Bible where Jesus has been tempted of the devil. You know, when he went, he was tempted of the devil. What did he say? He could have used his sonship authority. He could have used the power that was in him. You know what he did? He said, it's written. It's written. It is written. So that's what we do when we're going through things. And we've got the report that's not the report of the Lord. It's written report. This is what that report says, but I've got a different report. It is written, devil. Amen. It's written in the covenant. It's bound to happen because I'm bound to the covenant because of the blood. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And God swears by that covenant. He said, Abraham, I swore this unto myself. And if in order for God to lie, he would have to destroy himself. Glory to God. But we know that he didn't lie. He don't lie. Amen. So we read in the Bible where Jesus was tempted of the devil. He could have spoke. But he said, it is written, Satan. It is written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, what my God has spoken, that's what's proceeding out of my mouth. And I choose not to live by anything else. Galatians 16:19 says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not to seeds as though many, but as through one, and to your seed who is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant, which was confirmed earlier by God in Christ, cannot be annulled by the law, which came 430 years after, so as to make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise, but it is no more by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. For what then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions until the seed should come. The seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels through the hand of a mediator. The law was brought in to protect the promises of the old covenant. In other words, this is the law. Walk by it, follow by it, and you'll be protected. That was under the old law. It was under the old covenant. God brought the law to protect the promises. But when Jesus came, the promises came into force. He said, it's a done deal. It's a yes and amen. No longer do you have to strive and work and try to walk in obedience and have all your I's and T's dotted and crossed the way they're supposed to be before he blesses you, because we are a work in progress. And that grace that Clifton talks about is a bridge there, not for us to sin, but to catch us if we do. Amen. So he came, he bore the penalty of spiritual death, Jesus did, and was raised from the dead, being triumphant. He went to hell, and he said, I'm coming out. And when I come out, I'm going to bring the keys of death, hell, and the grave with me, and I'm giving it to the church. Hallelujah. To bind whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Hallelujah. That's part of our covenant. Up on this rock, he said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why? Because we've got a few folk that choose to believe what the covenant says. And because of that, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Know your covenants. Know your rights. Amen. They're in this book. Amen. Glory to God. So Jesus came and he bore the penalty of spiritual death, was raised from the dead, been triumphant over the devil and his kingdom. Hallelujah. We may be of this in this world, but we're not of this world. We're to operate in the kingdom of God while we are here now. And that operating in the kingdom of God is operating on the covenant principles that has been laid out there. And when we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, a new man was born inside of us. We became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Our spirit became born again. And when that happened, we was able to access God, and God was able to get to us. Amen. Glory to God. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. And if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. That's why we don't do away with the old. We just put it with the new, and it all works together. Amen. It says Galatians, it says, and if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. You are an heir. You are an heir. Heir, according to the promise. The promise God gave to Jesus had now been given to us as believers. And we can receive the blessings of Abraham. We have been redeemed from the curse, and we got the blessing. Like the Pastor Them's article said, exchange, hallelujah, sickness for wellness, poverty for prosperity. That was the great exchange. I know we got the better end of the deal. I think it's puttering. I know it's propelling. Amen. Think about this week. When you get up tomorrow, am I going to putter or am I going to propel today? So if you are in Christ and you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, we are to receive, and we are receiving, the blessings of Abraham. So we pray and we expect God to do what he has declared in his covenant. We have because of the shed blood of Jesus, not because of what we have done and not because of what Jesus did. We can never, ever work enough or be perfect enough or have everything in our life straight enough for God to do anything for us. We receive it by faith because what Jesus did. The Bible, the Message Bible says in Galatians 3, it says, Christ redeemed us. Okay, let's go ahead and go back a little bit further here. So those now who live by faith are blessed along with Abraham, who lived by faith. This is no new doctrine. And that means that anyone who tries to live by his own effort, independent of God, is doomed to failure. Scripture backs this up. Utterly cursed is every person who fails to carry out every detail written in the book of the law. The obvious impossibility of carrying out such a moral program should make it plain that no one can sustain a relationship with God that way. The person who lives in right relationship with God does it by embracing what God arranges for him. Let me stop there. The greatest honor that you can give to God is to believe him and take him at his word. Of all the things that we do to honor God, come to the house of the Lord, witness, pay our tithes and offerings. The greatest honor is just to believe God, that if you said it, I believe it. Doing things for God is the opposite of entering into what God does for you. Habakkuk had it right. The person who believes God is set right by God, and that's the real life. Rule keeping does not naturally involve into living by faith. But only itself in more and more rules. In other words, it's making you want to keep more and more rules. If the devil can try to get you to keeping rules, you kept that and something happens, and now you've got to keep this one. So it's a progressive thing, and soon you're in a tailspin, and your mind is, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, to try to keep God working for me. It's by faith, as Abraham received it by faith. The person who believes God is set right by God. Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating curse life by absorbing it completely into himself. Do you remember the scripture that says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree? That is what happened when Jesus was nailed to the cross. He became a curse and at the same time dissolved the curse. And now, because of that, the air is cleared. And we can see that Abraham's blessing is present and available for non-Jews too. We're all able to receive God's life, His Spirit in and with us, by believing just the way Abraham believed. Amen. So how many is going to go this week and start being more covenant-minded? Well, I've got two people. Hallelujah. Three people, four people. Not puttering. Get up and tell somebody that you're going to quit puttering and you're going to start propelling. You know, that helicopter starts off, it starts puttering, and soon it picks up enough speed. That's what happens when you get into the Word. You're like, oh, I don't know about this. I don't know about this grace. I don't know about this giving. And then it starts working. And you can't help but to give. You can't help but to praise. It's not that you have to put a demand on it. It's already been paid for. Your healing has already been paid for. Everything that we have has already been paid for. Are they ready to come back in? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And we're going to take and remember the Lord, the blood of Jesus today by doing communion as soon as we get everybody in here. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word today, for the price that was paid, God, that we do not have to work for what has already been given to us freely by Jesus Christ. And we rest in that today, Father God. We pray for these people on this prayer request today for healing and salvation, for Dimple Buck and Robert Turner, salvation, Dimple Buck healing, Brenda Thrasher for healing, Joy Hatcher for healing, Leona Aiken for healing, Jim Hadley for healing, Corey for healing, and Nadine for healing. The blood of Jesus, the covenant says, by His stripes, they are healed. And we just speak healing over these people today because of the covenant, Lord. We speak healing over them today. You sent your word, heal them and deliver them, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, for that in the name of Jesus, for meeting every need, body, soul, and spirit, made us whole, Lord, and we thank you for that, Jesus. We give you honor today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's just stand.